Blog Talk Radio.
I've got it figured.
You do?
I've had two separate folks tell me there've been strangers around these parts last couple nights. Can't tell what they look like, because they're staying in the shadows, covert-like. Nobody's been hurt, mind you, and that's the giveaway.
I see.
It's called probing. It's a military procedure. You send out a reconnaissance group, very small, check things out. Not to engage, but to evaluate the situation. Evaluate the level of danger. Make sure things are all clear.
Clear for what?
For the rest of them.
Yeah. You got a pamphlet or something I can read?
Number 646-716-7061 if you care to call in and join in on the conversation. You can instant message me, and I just now got my browser open, ready to go. BrainTwist, Yahoo, instant messenger. Feel free. A question I haven't gotten up to this point is, why the world consciousness? Well, it's quite simple if you think about it. I have articulated in prior shows the myopic view that, especially as an American, I confess I had at one point in my own life. I thought the only world that existed was the very world that I grew up in, and the rest of the world was just a geography class. Just essentially waiting to be learned, so to speak. However, that is not the case. And I actually did have a friend tell me in chat once, just kind of a quick comment. He says, you know, Americans don't really understand or learn about geography till we actually engage somebody in conflict. And actually, there's a lot of truth to that. And when you think about it, and if you're honest with yourself, and your worldview is a little more extended than the east and west coast or the north and south borders of our continental United States, I think you'll arrive at the conclusion that that is in fact a reality. So the world consciousness is just that. It's not so much what we do in the world, however that is important, but it's how the world views us and whether or not we're actually communicating, if in fact we are able to, and individuals and various governments throughout the world are willing to engage us in open debate, conversation, which obviously is important, because without that, we don't understand one another. And my daughter is here right now typing an instant message, or what are you doing? Okay. Well, okay, I got a production assistant in the works here, I guess. So, it's really that simple. I'll show you right here. Okay. All right, I have to go there. This is not the time to be a training seminar in the middle of my program, but however, I am spontaneous, and I... Okay. All right. There we go. All right. Are you okay? There. Okay. My. I see my files are up, and that's how we work. Go on. Take care of that. Run that under water. Cold water. Where was I? We are in a world that is essentially understood by what? The messages that said government or peoples put forth. And we interact with one another based on the given realities. Do we attempt, as an American nation, do we attempt to define the realities of others? Some would say, yes, that is the case, that we attempt to impose our will as Americans, because we are probably, and, well, as a matter of fact, the greatest nation in the history of the world, being such a young nation, and the level of prosperity and influence and advances in technologies and the like. So, but no, we don't seek to impose ourselves. America, for lack of a better way of putting it, is totally misunderstood. In many cases, intentionally misrepresented. More often than not, mischaracterized for various reasons. Most reasons being malevolent, unfortunately. There is a psychology that we have to deal with throughout the world at any given time. That's why I posit it as the world consciousness, because I look at it as more or less a macrocosm of the microcosm, being one nation, America, the microcosm, our worldview, how we see things, as it relates to others. The entire world consciousness being the macrocosm, and how it interrelates with one another. You can look at it in a sense, not to oversimplify it, but as a highly functioning cranial organism, not unlike our own gray matter. There's conflict, there is organization, there's harmony at best. In the worst case scenario, you have conflict, misfiring, misunderstanding, miscommunication. So that may be a bit ethereal to some, a bit undian to others. That's the way I see it. Hence, the world consciousness. So what can we do to correct the problems that are obvious? What can we do to understand the problems that face the entire world? In many ways, America is mischaracterized as an imperialist nation, because we seek to impose our will on others and our way of life. Well, as I was actually speaking to a friend just the other night, my position is that's not the case. because we're dealing with powers throughout the world, some despotic, some evil, some very dark, some motivated by greed, the desire to impose on the masses in any particular region of the world or country, nation. So as Americans, we recognize that. Historically, you can look back, you can see how we have intervened. Probably the most recent example would be World War II. We essentially, at one point, the mindset was we wanted to remain isolationists. We didn't want to get involved with the world's problems. Well, that's a good idea, but in reality, it isn't a very wise approach, especially when you're talking about World War II, the Third Reich, Hitler's Nazism spreading throughout Europe like wildfire, taking countries en masse. So eventually, what would happen? The chickens will come home to roost, so to speak. And then you'd have to deal with a much larger problem. So we entered into World War II. That not being the main, one of the only reasons, with the advent of Pearl Harbor. And then some would say, well, underlying that is actually a major conspiracy that America knew all along, and there have been books about it that spoke to that conspiracy. Well, it may or may not have actually been like that, but the reality is what it was at the time, and we had to do what we had to do. The onslaught and advances of Nazism throughout the world, the aggressive nature of imperialistic Japan, as demonstrated in Pearl Harbor, the lengths that they would go to and would not hesitate to commit upon any nation to subjugate it. So, what is America? Why did America do what they did? Well, a number of other reasons, obviously. The Holocaust, the dark, evil treatment of one segment of the world's population, motivated by religion or religious bias, I should say, a hatred that vilified the Jewish people at the time. Well, you know what? The thing about it is, and I've mentioned this before, I'll say it again because it's true. The common thread throughout the entire history of the world and all the conflicts that we've been engaged in, that every nation has been engaged in, every power that has come to be, the common thread is human nature. There's no getting around that. The corruptibility of human nature. Now, if somebody can come up with somebody can come up with, and who is that? My call screener is AWOL at this time, and I'm going to go to my phone here, and I'll finish up my thoughts. If somebody has the magic bullet, the genie in the lamp, and can answer the $64,000 question, call 646-716-7061. How can we remedy human nature? If you got the answer, we sure will fulfill the wishes of Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? And wouldn't that be great? Okay, I'm going to 863 caller. Your name and what would you like to talk about?
Yeah, I was listening to what you say. I don't think we can remedy human nature, but I think we have to look for ways to fix human nature. However, the fix so far that we've worked with hasn't worked.
Okay. Well, that's quite cursory, but can you be a little more specific?
No, I wish I could. I just look around and see the same thing you probably do.
Yeah. Well, I know... excuse me for a second. Darn. Pardon me.
Okay.
It's a cancer.
Very wise man by the name of, I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're not in my ear. What was that?
I was just saying that cough was cancer that they're causing you.
is that a wish upon me? No. I don't know if anybody listening listens to Rush Limbaugh, but he puts it quite well. He says, through history, he says, what we see is essentially the aggressive use of force against others, and that springs right out of human nature, because obviously there's motivating factors that lie beneath that. You know, it's a desire to lord over people, to keep them in check, to provide bare essentials while the ruling class lives high and mighty. So, and that's pretty much a common theme. That's probably rooted in greed and lust for power, which any politician will tell you it's very addictive, being in a position of power.
Is it greed or security?
Caller?
Is it greed or security?
Greed or security? Well, don't they kind of both go hand in hand?
Yeah, I agree. Greed is harsh. Security is politically correct.
Well, security is essential to survival, would you agree?
Yes.
Especially like if you're talking about an entire nation, people that, you know, are relatively peaceful, just want to live their life and go about their way and not, you know, infringe upon others. You know, security is essential, especially if you have warring clans or tribes, you know, going back in time historically. You can apply that to any people in any geographic location. Indian tribes would go to war with one another for various reasons, acquisition of land, hunting, fishing, like, you know.
I think if you have a peaceful civilization, that's a good civilization to intrude upon, to conquer, to make more or less, I guess you could say, your slaves. Not actually like chains and stuff, but to go in and bring them something new that they probably haven't seen and take over.
Yeah, I would agree. Exactly. Sometimes it's motivated from out of fear also. Maybe that, say, your neighboring tribe may be propagating a little more than you like, growing larger by the year, and then maybe your war council gets together and says, well, you know, we got to, you know, take care of things. You know, if we want to maintain our identity, you can extrapolate that out, I would say, you know, historically, to where we are now. It's not that much different because, as I mentioned, human nature hasn't really changed. That's pretty much the common thread. now we're pretty much defined by nationhood, imaginary boundaries, some physical. So, would you agree or anything to comment on that there, Colin?
I think that everything's pretty much been bought up or has been, you know, obtained by people. So the only thing left to really do is to take away and gather for yourselves one way or another. Like in America, one good way is through like credit cards and mortgages and that type of stuff. That pretty much means that you really don't own it. It's the banking industry that does.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that wouldn't you say that's a component of our capitalistic society.
But that's not a capitalistic society that's developed in the Muslim world yet. But I have a feeling it's going to develop over there now. And it's going to develop in other third world countries as well.
Hmm. Well, no, I have to disagree with you. I mean, look at Kuwait. They have a thriving stock market in Kuwait. Even, if I'm not mistaken, Saudi Arabia even plays the stock market. And they endeavor to invest, likewise, in our stock market. So they know how to play the capitalistic game, but yet maintain their religious identity, you know, as a society. So, but then again, you know, it's the haves and have-nots.
But what do they have that enables them to do that? Maybe what do they have that we let them be able to invest like that? Is there something that we want from them to be able to let them come so far into us?
Well, that's interesting that you bring that up, because I think we talked about this on my Down Under correspondent is I am in me here. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the thought there.
Oh, no. You go ahead. I'll talk here for a second. I think it's interesting to see that other countries that that do invest, such as China, which is coming into the new order, are kind of like being able to join into the stock market. They've actually developed their own stock market. I think here in the U.S., I think we have three stock markets that, in case one goes down, the other one can take over, or, I mean, they continuously trade. And there's only like 20 throughout the world. But China's developed one, which is good, but yet they've invested heavily within the U.S. And it's kind of like the U.S. keeps mortgaging off stuff that we have. Like you have a big farm and you mortgage off so much, and what are we left with? We're left entrapped into others. So what do we have after it's all left over? Really nothing. We owe everybody else.
Yeah. We're
probably these other countries owe people, too. I mean, there's always that trade deficit and all that stuff, but so far it appears as though America is mortgaging off a lot more than we should. We don't really have a lot of capital here as we used to.
Yeah, well, you know, well, one thing, I think my initial comment to what you just said would be capitalism does work, doesn't it? Would you agree with that?
I mean, so far it's worked.
You know, no matter what their motivation and intention may be, in the long run, capitalism does work. You're talking about the disparity in trade and investment, how we are essentially beholden to the.
I think capitalism is interesting to watch. I mean, back, let's say, around the 60s, 50s, 40s, how people developed their own business. I think it's evolved to where, like, big businesses such as Microsoft have been able to take over the little businesses, which is fine, but those people probably make off good and get to relax on the beach. But in the all-around picture, it's all adding up to, like, one business, which would be like Walmart, and goes into an area of a population of 50,000 people who have their own little businesses and then buys up everything, because not really buys up everything, people just don't shop the local businesses anymore. So that, I think that's where you kind of find a downfall in capitalism in that aspect.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is that, well,
I guess it's good if you got enough money invested in them. I guess it's good if you got enough money invested in the business that's coming and taking over, because then your stock will go up and then you'll be okay. But the local people that try to make it, well, you, I guess you could call them farmers, aren't going to make it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've heard the argument that because, you know, speaking of Walmart and, you know, their supposed imposition, into any particular community, how the mom and pop stores that used to thrive. Hello. I got okay. Mute that. Yeah. Jennifer, excuse me there, caller. I'm in the middle of a radio show here. So, okay, let's digress here. All right, let's take a break. Jennifer, this is my daughter, my lovely 14-year-old daughter, Jennifer. And she's injecting herself into an international radio show.
I know.
And that's cool.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, anything you want to say? Peace and love. There you go. That's sticking.
But is it looks like maybe?
No, that's my tea. It's tea. Put the cover back on and put it where it was.
Now, peace and love is what they used to say back in the 60s. And now those people are like in the government and stuff. What has happened? And what happened to peace and love?
Thank you for the feedback. Oh, my God. When did I lose control here? Okay. Where are we at? You know what? I didn't get your name.
Jonathan.
Oh, Jonathan. Oh, the Jonathan. That's right. My,
Yeah.
Absentee co-host. How you been? How's the car coming?
Well, it's doing all right. There's bushing. You want
to
work out?
My, sorry, excuse me, but it's really important, John. So programming decision I'm making. I'm calling my co-host here. Well, not my co-host, my global warming correspondent. Trying to get her on the line. In the land down under. Is she on the line? Let's see. This is our representative in the... How are you doing? No, no, you're not anywhere, but right here in my ear, and I wouldn't do that. How did I do that? Now I'm being accused of being a trickster. Uh-oh. Okay. No, not me, not at all. So how's everything in the land down under there? That's right. You're essentially a time machine. I forgot all about that. Okay, and the weather report? And was it nice? Is it warm, cold? What? Can I quote you on that on the air? Can I quote you on that? Is that your official report there? It's a prickly chill in the air. And what was it that last one? Oh, and it's certainly winter down under. That's quite amazing. Now, when are we looking at the end of winter and coming out of going into what? Spring, yeah. So the duration of seasons are similar to the opposite. So geographically, in your hemisphere, and I plead ignorance here, you're located essentially in the same, what would that be, longitude, latitude? Yeah, okay. opposite sides of the world. I guess, hence, down under, you know. There you go. That's pretty a... Oh, feet. Okay. So anything happening of interest on the political scene? I know you follow that stuff. Nothing, no. No interesting late night shows you've been following? Or... Okay, well, who's looking good in the election? Oh, you haven't? No buzz around the... He's pushing 70. He's looking like a woman. Is that what you said? Ken Rudd? Kevin Rudd. He's got very effeminate features. Wow. Well, that's an interesting that's an interesting insight into the political figures down under there. Now, do you, like you say, now, you don't follow it as close as you should, or you just kind of wait till, as the average American waits till they're gearing up to election time, then they start getting informed? Okay, so that's a yes. So. As so many people... I tricked you. How did I trick you? Can you explain that to me? Well, I tell you, that was an excellent No, you're not on the air. I told you I wouldn't do that because your contract hasn't been finalized. I'm just essentially reiterating what you're telling me now. Does that make you feel better? No, I can. You're in my ear, and that's it. I'm repeating. I'm on the air, Lana Hot Mic here, and you're in my ear, and that's the only place you are. Yeah, and you're in my head, and you can't get out of my head. I don't know what it is about you, but no. Well, it's good to hear from you, and I'm pardon me for the confusion, and. No, I'm pretty much repeating what you're saying. And John's filling in on the other side. Where's he at? No, he's not my fill-in. This is kind of a bumpy ride. It happens every now and then in programming, so we can live with it. So you enjoying your weekend off? You're, what, still in Sunday then, right? Oh, any shopping excursions that you're partaking upon today? Nothing? Okay. I'm going to pick up my caller here. And well, when you finally get that contract finalized and you get the bravado to come on air, whichever comes first, you're more than welcome there, my esteemed correspondent from down under. How about that? And will you let me know? And is that a no or a shut up? Wow. Where are you? I was booted. Okay. Well, we're off there. And that's that. What do we got here? Okay. Caller. Is that you, John, again?
Okay, let me get you in my ear. Hello there.
John. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, that was a little sticky point there. And we're okay. So, I don't know. I don't see a problem with Walmart. If they want to take over the world, that's quite fine if Walmart wants to take over the world. I mean, how bad can that be? If you need a barbecue grill and it's a warm, sunny day out and you want to throw some ribs or some shrimp on the barbie if you're down under, you know, Walmart's there and you go get a nice cheap grill. So everything is, it all kind of goes hand in hand. So.
I agree with you, except for that's how it's evolved to. So if you want to start up your own business, you better have a lot of money and a lot of power. Otherwise, you can't do it.
Yeah, well, you got to take into consideration Walmart requires the services of many. It requires plumbers. It requires structural mechanics, engineers, architects, people to, occupy the infrastructure and the like. So, how's that a bad thing? There are businesses that spin off from corporations. They do need services. They aren't, monopolies in that regard, or an island. What do you say to that?
Is that a commerce society, though, if someone can take over everything?
Is it a commerce society?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see them taking over. I just see them, what are they doing? They're adding to the larger picture, aren't they? But on a much
grander scale. That's exactly what they're doing. They're definitely adding to the larger picture on a very large scale. So for your local mom and pop that wants to start up a business, ain't going to work out very well. But, the big Walmart that wants to go throughout the world, that'll work great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, see, Walter Williams, he's an economist out of the George Mason University. He's the head of the economics department there. And his take on that is, you could see the same thing with the advent of the automobile. The horse and buggy people were probably pretty upset that their business was going to go wayside. Can you look it up as maybe progress? And we all essentially, we have to re-educate, we have to readapt, learn different skills to become, marketable? Maybe mom and pop, that's sort of, gives you the image that they're probably elderly people and, have been doing this for a while and, probably have some money nested away somewhere. What are they going to do? Well, they'll probably just hasten their retirement. Or they can probably join in, maybe get a job at Walmart, or maybe provide some service for Walmart. Walmart isn't the only one. We're talking like Walmart's the only entity. We're talking about big oil, big pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. I'm not just talking about Walmart. I'm talking about the evolution of it. I mean, now you got the internet. So now you can get anything you want. But it's the people who have the power and the money to be able to provide it that can. You just can't start off at the beginning anymore. You can right now, but the beginning is going to end here pretty soon. It's only going to be the people that's got the money. Unless you can come up with new ideas. And then by the time you do come up with a new idea, someone will probably buy you out for that idea, which I would sell out in a heartbeat for, a few million bucks long enough to live off the beach and sip martinis all day long, which pretty much ends the, anybody with the small ideas. Well, it doesn't end the people with small ideas. It just means that you only have a small idea for a little time. If you can come up with it, you're set.
Mm-hmm. You mean like the guy with the hula hoop?
You mean with the guy with Google?
Well, the guy with Google. How about the pet rock?
There you go.
I mean, it's all about innovation, creativity, and the market dictates what, and then again, necessity is the mother of invention. If there's a service or a need that is out there, there's somebody out there willing to engage in commerce and capitalism to fulfill that need. It just takes a little bit of thought. Some people just kind of get locked into a vicious circle of, the 9-to-5 and, and then they're pretty content with that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but some people, that's not,
Whoever's listening.
Satisfaction for some people.
Whoever's listening, just from experience, don't ever go to that inventor's place. The 1-800 call for inventors, don't do that. Go find your own legal lawyer, have him research it, and do your own thing.
Oh, yeah, I went that route, I know, yeah.
yeah, it's just like, send me the big check and we'll send you a big stack of paper. So, and that's not that ever happened. Yeah.
Actually, I went and had a meeting with them, and the ideas I had said they sucked. But, and I was like, come on, man, it'll work. But the only problem is trying to sell them to the corporation to make them. Unless you can make them yourself, you got to make sure they're simple. If you can't make them yourself, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because my idea was that picture frame that you now see out, which that you can put in pictures and it can change the pictures. It's a LCD screen. That was one of my ideas. And they said, no, it's too complex. It's not going to work, which is fine. It probably was too complex because there's no way I could invent it here myself. You would have to sell it to a corporation, and trying to get into Sony or any place like that isn't going to work out too well because they got people knocking on their door all day long.
Well,
unless you make it simple to make it your own house and develop and sell that way.
Right.
You'll be all right.
Got to start somewhere. I was talking with a friend last night about a very large marketing organization. You know, they pretty much expanded and retooled their business model, but Amway. They started out in a basement, in a bathtub.
Say Amway?
Organic.
You said Amway.
I'm sorry, what's that?
You said Amway.
Yeah, Amway. Well, it's got a name now.
Amway or anyway?
What's that? Can you repeat?
Did you say Amway or anyway?
Amway.
Okay, go ahead. My bad.
Yeah, they started out in a basement. A couple guys had an idea for an organic cleanser. And, I mean, this stuff is miraculous. You can clean anything from bathtubs to toilets to ovens and even brush your teeth with it. And it was an idea. They formulated a product. They bottled it. They marketed it. Now look. And now anybody can do it. Nobody. And, see, that's the whole the thing about capitalism. See, everybody has an opportunity. If you have an idea, now you can be stupid and go call up, say, you know, 1-800 Joe Schmo Big Corp and say, hey, here's my idea. And they'll say, no, that really sucks, you know, but then they'll take a variant on your idea and with, you know, their technology and their infrastructure able to develop it. You know, so you got to be smart about it. You can't. Now, okay, let me give you a pretty odd example of, you know, entrepreneurship. Here in this country, America, there's what is the name of it? It's like King Poop Scoop or something like that. The guy started out locally, just picking up after his neighbors. He saw a need. People
heard about
that. Walk around picking up dog crap. So you do, you Kyle, now he's a national company. It's a multi-million dollar company. And it was launched within a year. So what does that do? That just feeds the machine. That just feeds the capitalistic machine. And as a result of that, he has spin-offs himself. He has people that provide services for him. I'm sure waste management. And, you know, so, you know, you got to, you know, think out of the box, actually, you know. You know, but to actually just vilify, you know, entrepreneurship and the fact that somebody with a good idea, was his name, Sam Walton was his name, who started Walmart, if I'm not mistaken. But it was just, hey, you know, high volume, low prices. How can you beat that? That's what the market thrives on. You know, it's that competitive edge. And if somebody can't be or chooses not to be competitive, then I guess they should go find a job washing dishes or driving a golf cart, serving drinks, you know.
Well, I agree with you in that part, that you're going to have to be innovative with your new idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't be starting up a new store anymore. It's going to have to be a whole new idea. So at least that's where it's evolved to.
Well, I mean, then you got to think all the products that and services that are required. And actually that many corporations on different levels that they provide, it takes people to provide product, you know, because you can't just keep selling, you know, salt shakers, green and yellow salt shakers, you know, for eternity, because people are going, the market's going to say, I don't want them.
I want some clear ones, or, you know what I mean? So there are people out there thinking of the better salt shaker, or essentially the better mouse trap.
I wouldn't say it's a better mouse trap or better shaker. I think it's how much of the quantity that you can buy and then put it out on the market. You might have a better mouse trap, but if you can buy a cheaper mouse trap, they'll do the same thing, might take twice as long, but if you don't want to spend three times as much, you'll probably buy it, and that's where Walmart comes in.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole thing...
Not even Walmart. You got Home Depot, which Home Depot, I love Home Depot. I mean, with a person who owns a house, how can you get by without Home Depot? But, I mean, so far, you're not going to find the mom-and-pop shops anymore, which is fine. But, so anybody that's going to start up anything new, it has to be new innovations. And it's how far you want to push it and if you'll be bought out or not. And the question is if you'll be bought out or not. And that's what it comes down to. Can you push through to get to the real market without being bought out?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you seem to have a certain compassion for the mom-and-pop shops. I mean, you know. I mean, the world's getting bigger, but yet it's getting smaller at the same time. I mean, with the advent of technology and communication, I mean, look, I was just talking to somebody, you know, on the opposite side of the globe in a different time zone, you know. That is a reality, and it's a genie that's not going to go back in the bottle.
The only thing I find interesting is I went up in Nebraska. I think it was Stafford. I don't remember the name of it, but there's only like three cities in Nebraska. But one of them, well, the place I was at, they have a Walmart. People travel like 100 miles to go to that Walmart. And on the streets of that city, some buildings are empty now, which is fine. You're going to have to come up with something new to put in there, but it looks pretty interesting to start having a ghost town. But it's just the evolution of it, that's all. And so what I'm saying is, what you were saying in the beginning about commerce and the society of commerce, it has evolved to where it's not for the person that can really just start out and be cheap, which you can with the Internet, but you still have to buy the mold and do whatever. It's not something cheap that you can start out with anymore.
Well, you know, nowadays, with like I mentioned, the technology, the advances, and it's quite amazing. I mean, just what we're seeing now, and I can imagine, I would love to be able to see what's going to be like just 50 years from now. I mean, you got gravity cars. I mean, you got guys defying gravity, essentially, based on, you know, some pretty intricate science on a plasmatic level. I don't know if you're familiar with that. The guy actually had a very lightweight vehicle actually hovering, basically, all on its own. But that's a topic for another show. But, I mean, with the advent of all this technology, can you just imagine? I mean, look at the applications in medicine and how it's prolonging life. So it's really a plus-plus. It depends on your perspective and how you choose to look at it. A guy will say, well, look at that stinky old factory over there. It's a big building when I used to have a beautiful view out my back window. Now I can't even see the sunset anymore. But that's his perspective. But that factory is providing innovation and technology to certain industry that is saving lives and potentially curing cancer. You know, that's so. Your perspective has so much to do with it, I would think.
Well, I tell you one thing I find interesting. Of course, you know, I read popular science and popular mechanics, and they were talking about building a structure, and it'd take about a city block and about 18 stories. And what you'd do is you'd put a farm in there, be self-sufficient, and feed 50,000 people. Now, that would be an interesting structure to start off, but it only cost, like, I think it was like $2 billion or something like that to do it. But to see what would happen from it would be very interesting. I mean, it would put off, I guess you would say, good air and that type of thing. But it was all, you know, self-efficient.
well, you have, I mean, in reality, you have, and I don't know if you saw, did you happen to see the great global warming swindle? Did you see that, that debunked Al Gore's whole, actually just cut the legs out from underneath the guy? But anyway.
No, I'm sorry, I missed it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Well, you got to see it. It's called, just Google it, The Great Global Warming Swindle. It's produced out of the UK, I think it's Channel 4. But there's actually at the heart of the whole thing as to why, you know, the controversy over, you know, the science and the push to stop progress, essentially. Al Gore vilifies the internal combustion engine. He vilifies essentially human beings because we produce CO2. God forbid if we incinerate the planet just by merely breathing, you know. But there's a one aspect of it, one part of it that sort of is very telling, and that is, it's just that is that essentially the flat earthers, the anti-growth lobbyists, special interest groups that don't want to see undeveloped nations living in poverty become developed nations. It's essentially, that is what is at the heart of this whole debacle.
I find it interesting. Everybody's talking about methanol.
Yeah,
but
well,
nobody really knows how much fuel it takes to make methanol. There's a lot of fossil fuel it takes to make methanol.
Right.
They want to come with something else besides that, because that's going to take about as much fossil fuel to make methanol as we're using right now to drive cars.
Right. Well, you look at the prices in food that are rising, you know, because the ethanol, where does it come from? It comes from a food source that we thrive on. We feed our cattle, our beef cattle with. So, duh.
Yeah.
The price
that's
is
a good
going
question.
Up,
now,
but,
what I say is, who is behind all that? Who's behind that big push? Who's going to make money off of it? It's all about money. I mean, we don't go to war to lose money. We go there for somebody to make money. And we ain't going to go to ethanol for someone to lose money. We're going there to make money.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know. No, that kind of digresses back to our one topic as to, you know, powers that be and what their motivation is.
It's commerce.
The world is fueled by
commerce you're talking about.
Would you agree? I mean, without fossil fuel, we wouldn't have a world economy. So people, of course, yeah, the simplistic judgment would be, oh, well, you know, you're going to war for oil. Well, no, there's much more, it's much deeper than that. There's political, there's human rights aspects to the argument.
Yeah, if there's human rights, how come we're not down in the Congo? Because down there they're killing like millions of people, you know, genocide, but we're not down there.
Well, I thought the UN was taking care of that.
Yeah, well, they're not.
Like in Rwanda, like maybe in Darfur. I'm out of Iraq, going to Darfur.
You know, like, kind of like the UN stand between Palestine and Israel and letting people get shot and just standing there. Yeah, they're shooting people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it all stems from, well, in that particular region of the world, it's the Islamist jihadists that are imposing their religious-centric will on others. And they, what, it all comes in that particular region, what, they vilify Israel. They believe they have no right to exist.
I guess what I'm saying is, I guess what I'm saying is you can't justify it with human rights. Otherwise, we would have a lot more presence down there in the Congo area. You can't say it's human rights.
You can't just say it's just about oil either.
Yeah, but you can combine them and make it right. But they don't have nothing in the Congo that we want. What do we want? It's just like, you know, Kuwait investing in our economy. Why are we letting them do it? What do they have that we want? Or any other country, China, what do they have that we want?
Well, they're
we want in China because China has so many people that if we can get our stuff in there, we can sell a lot of crap. We can't sell nothing to the Congo. Are you going to buy anything? You want to sell a TV to the Congo? No, because they only have power.
No, I don't.
But we'll knock each other off.
That's too simplistic. You're not looking at the big picture. You're talking about they as a communistic entity, they have a responsibility for billions of people. What's the population in China? They have to tend to those people. They need money. Everybody needs money. That's what makes the world go round. So to say, they have this nefarious, motivation to get into.
You need a kidney or a lung or anything, I would shop in China. I wouldn't shop anywhere else except for China, because if you need a kidney or something like that, they'll sell it to you.
Oh, well, that's a whole other topic. That's human.
Exactly. We don't see us going in there, do you? They got something that we want, which is money. It's all about money.
It's all about money. Yeah, well, you want to go back to the barter system?
No, I want to go to Congo. They ain't got no money, so we ain't going into Congo.
What's that?
I said I want to go back to Congo. They don't have no money, so we're not going to go into Congo. We'll say we have a presence there for the global news media, but we ain't going to go in there and stop it. They don't have anything.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know what? Why don't they take care of what? Okay, then, you know, that's just the antithesis of the argument. Why is America considered themselves the global policeman? But now you're just taking the opposite position. That's hypocritical, wouldn't you think?
It's not hypocritical. I'm not being hypocritical. I'm just telling you the way America works.
Well, okay, not you specifically, but politicians. Like the example I said, get out of Iraq, go to Darfur. Says, well, what's the point? It's still a military incursion. We're going to have to go in there and kill Muslims that are killing Christians.
Okay, you know? So what's surrounding the Congo? What's surrounding the Congo that we would have interest in?
Oh, there's plenty in the Congo. The natural resources there are limitless.
Really?
The plant life alone for the pharmaceutical companies alone. That's just that.
And is that what happened in Brazil? With all the rainforest, the pharmaceutical?
No, the Brazil, they were cutting and slashing and burning property for crops, but they don't realize the soil isn't like we have here. It was something that wasn't completely thought through. It was, if you could actually replace the soil and give them a good, rich topsoil, volcanically rich topsoil like we have here, but you don't have that in the tropics exactly.
Conrad, not to poke at you, but maybe that's what they're doing in the Congo. They're waiting to think it through.
Well, you know what? Good for them. And if they want to live that way, they want to live tribal, they want to maintain that way of life, that's fine with me. I have no problem with that.
That's true. I agree with you.
I'm glad you agree, because I'm usually always right, but anyway. Okay,
exactly.
I'm going to stop the show here, John. Hey, thanks for calling in. Nice talking with you, man. Good conversation.
Hey, man.
All right, now I'll talk to you later, bro.
All right, buddy. Sounds good.
All right, that's it. There's that was John, and, actually, you know, I'm going to share you a little inside stuff here. That was John. He was our inside guy in Florida. He failed to give us our global warming update. I don't know. We're kind of morphing out of that. I don't know. It's kind of withering on the vine, petering out. But anyway, it is what it is. And that's the world consciousness for now. I'm going to be closing out with, a little Jimi Hendrix, I feel like, tonight. Because it is about America. Whatever you think about it, whether we're evil, whether we're conquerors, oppressors, in America, you're entitled to your opinion, and that's the great thing about a free and open society. So enjoy it. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your family, your loved ones. Hug your friends and kiss your children. And I'm going to bid you good night, wherever you may be. Good day, good evening. And you just take care of yourself and be kind to yourself. And this is Jimmy Hendrix.